Hi, I'm Kent.
And I'm Anna.
We're married, we make movies, and we believe that anyone in any circumstance can make a feature film.
Welcome to the Feature Filmmaker Podcast. If you want a career making movies, you're in the right place.
Hit subscribe to never miss an episode.
Let's jump right in. Hello, and welcome to this episode of the podcast with our movie club series. So for those of you who are new to the podcast, the movie club is kind of this fun thing. We try to do a new movie every month, and we'll just discuss it together, talk about how it was made, maybe some behind the scenes information. And we're also focusing on media literacy, how to have a discussion about a film after you watch it.
Which is really the main purpose of this. There's lots of BTS materials and stuff like that, but we only bring that in to the discussion if it's relevant to the media literacy portion, I think. Really what we're interested in with Movie Club is trying to help people. If you're listening to the podcast, most likely you're a filmmaker, but we're hopefully trying to help families and friends and groups of people who watch films at all to be able to discuss them in a way that is actually productive, because we feel that movies can become a really valuable part of our lives. And by movies, I mean stories, media, literature. We can think of movies that way too, right? So it's just an opportunity for us to not only extract more value out of the stories that we are experiencing or the movies that we're experiencing, but also to find more enjoyment out of them.
Yeah, I grew up with a mom who was always in a book club. And when I got old enough to read the books that she was reading, I would join her book club and we'd get together, yeah, about every month or so and discuss the latest book we'd read. And I thought that was so fun to sit together and discuss stories with other people who were familiar with the story. And now that we make movies, I thought it would be super fun to make the same sort of thing for movies. So typically, we also try to include movies you might not have seen before. This was one of the most valuable parts of film school for Kent and I, was getting to see films we'd never heard of, we would have completely missed if it weren't for our professor showing us those films. And today's is not an example of that. Top Gun is what you've probably seen, but we do try to mix in some older black and white films, international films, documentaries, things like that as well. So every once in a while, we'll do these popular box office hits too.
Yeah. So we are today going to do Top Gun Maverick, which is not an obscure film. In fact, it has just become Paramount Pictures' highest grossing film of all time. And it broke Titanic's domestic box office record, sans inflation. And it's doing really, really well. It's doing great via word of mouth. And honestly, I thought the movie was going to flop. I thought it was going to have bad reviews. I thought that for several reasons, which I won't divulge. But it was also delayed like forever because it was going to be released in 2020. And it got pushed back 2 whole years because they refused to release it other than like a summer theatrical release. So
it was good timing. They did finally bring it out.
I think they're all happy with that decision. You know what? I think no one could have known that it would have turned out so well for them. So congratulations to the filmmakers. But we want to talk about it because it's a film that a lot of people are going to be watching and talking about. So we thought we'd jump into that conversation. Sometimes we talk about movies that are more obscure, and that's really valuable. But we'll also sometimes hit these big blockbuster films because that's what everyone's talking about. There's a big conversation happening about it. But right now, the conversation that I hear happening about Top Gun 2 is that it's perfect. It's super duper awesome. We all love it. I haven't talked about it much with our film friends, but that's what I've been hearing on like YouTube and online reviews, is a lot of praise mostly.
Yeah. All I know is I just went on a girls' trip and all the girls were talking about how they want to convince their husbands to get Miles Teller's mustache. So that's
one of our friends has done
becoming
it.
Becoming very trendy. Her yes. Only
growing up.
Not only her. So that's a thing. But honestly, I didn't even think I would watch this film because it's a sequel and I haven't seen the first movie. And sometimes I'm hesitant to watch something when I haven't seen whatever came before it. And I feel like I have to, you know, do some research and watch things beforehand. But it actually makes sense even without...
Well, they do a lot of handy flashbacking to make sure that nobody gets lost, for sure.
Yeah, it's very clear. It's very well told in that way. It's not confusing at any point. I feel like we all understand the details of what's happening in the narrative and what has happened before. But what would you say? I mean, we usually talk about basic premise and theme. So why don't we start with just a short version?
I'll do better this time. All right. So basic premise in my mind for Top Gun Maverick is that Maverick is a former Top Gun pilot. He's now a test pilot. He is called back to Top Gun as sort of a last chance because he is a rebel and doesn't like to obey orders, and he's been dodging promotions in the naval, what do I call it? The Naval Air Force?
I don't know.
Like Navy. Yes. It's not the Air Force. It's like the Navy Air people. Wow. And my dad was in the Air Force, so I don't know what to call these Navy people, but they fly airplanes, but they're in the Navy, so it's very confusing. And so he is sent back to Top Gun to instruct a bunch of Top Gun graduates regarding a mission that is really, really hard, that they're going to have to fly and do this thing. But among that group is the son of a man who used to be Maverick's wingman, who died while in the airplane with Maverick because of an accident. And you get that backstory a little bit. So it's really about him having to connect with this young man who is now under his tutelage and reach him in a way that will help him to be prepared for seeing combat for the first time so that he's not going to die. And he feels a lot of personal responsibility as sort of a father, but he also feels a lot of failure regarding not only the death of this young man's father, but also the way he has sort of failed to connect with this young man. So that's really the setup of the film, is him trying to reach this young man and trying to survive the Navy, and they're all pretty upset with him, and there's a lot of distrust, but he has to kind of prove himself and has a chance at redeeming his own reputation and also connecting with this young man, which is really a personal redemption because of his failure to save his father. So it's a compelling premise, I think.
Yeah, I think it's really relatable. It's nice that it has lots of different age groups. You know, there's these young Top Gun students that are kind of the younger generation, and there's the older generation who are kind of in the parental roles or the father figure role in the case of Tom Cruise's character. I think the main theme that I took from it was this idea of influence versus control, and that we cannot control other people, and it's actually not the best thing for them. And one of the best ways to be a good influence is to trust and to let people make mistakes sometimes and to let them fly and let them, you know, maybe even die or whatever has to happen. I feel like that's the arc that I saw Tom Cruise. What is his character name?
Maverick.
Maverick, yeah. The Maverick experiences. And it's kind of the theme that stood out to me as well.
Yeah. We're talking about character arcs, right? His journey is interesting because he's got a lot of braggadocio, which not only do most Tom Cruise characters have, but that's really the nature of the Top Gun environment, is something that they always do in these movies. My reports that I've heard of the real life Top Gun Academy is that that's realistic. Of course, I don't know if it looks exactly like these smoldering, sweaty, beach body, arrogant, you know, competitive environments that they portray in the movie, but I'm sure there's lots of competition, and it probably takes a lot of self-confidence to go into such a demanding field of work. I mean, it's remarkable what these people do in real life. But he goes from this sense of sort of never growing up, I feel like, because he could be like a two-star admiral, is something that one of the characters says at the beginning. He could have gone to a position of leadership, but he just likes to fly airplanes, period. And he doesn't want to do anything else. And in some ways, he's still trying to be the best, but he just enjoys it. And there's nothing really wrong with that, but there's like a sense of like, he still hasn't grown up. He still hasn't learned to respect authority. And because of that, he's not actually really able to engender respect from this team very well until he starts to make some strides towards that self-maturity, and he also has to trust them, which is hard for all parents to do, right? And it's sort of interesting because he's not a parent in this movie, but he feels like one. He's in sort of this fatherly role.
Yeah, he's in a leadership position, which is, I found as I read parenting books that they're some of the best books on leadership as well.
The good parenting books.
The good ones.
Yeah, I agree with that. And so there's a lot of good themes that cross over there. So yeah.
Yeah. What, I guess, elements of the craft back up that interpretation for you?
Well, I mean, in terms of theme, I don't know if I really clearly defined what I think the theme is. I was talking more about Maverick's character arc.
Yeah.
What would you define as the theme? To bounce this question back to you.
It's a good question. I mean, there's some things they say that I feel like they want you to think are the theme. I don't really espouse them. Well, but.
You don't, I mean, those themes.
Don't think, just do is like, I guess in a high stakes scenario like this,
you have to rely on training.
Kind of rely on instinct.
It's more of a twitch muscle sort of instinct.
But that could be a dangerous thought to live your life by in other situations.
Right. We usually have time to think in most life situations. But he said specifically up there, you can't think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I.
Important discussion.
I would agree with that based on. I mean, watching the combat sequence is really convincing that that's true. There's not much time for thought, and you have to really respond and trust that you've been trained. But that, to me, is thematic of like a theme of preparation, which is always inspiring for me to see that. But
yeah,
I don't know. What are the themes were you, did you personally glean, you know, from the film?
That's a hard one. I feel like it is very similar to the character arc. It's just that good leaders allow the people who follow them to make mistakes, and that can be a teaching moment, that we shouldn't try to control or prevent mistakes, because that's part of how you learn, even in something like this where it is a very high stakes scenario and there is life and death at play. To a certain degree, as leaders, we do still need to respect the freedom and agency of those we lead and be encouraging of them and supportive and teach them, but also allow them to make those choices.
It's actually really compelling, I think, the context of the story in regards to the theme that you just shared, because on the one hand, they have to be willing to let them make mistakes, but they're in a situation where mistakes could mean life or death.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to be willing to put them in a position where they could make mistakes, but prepare them sufficiently that they won't or likely won't make those mistakes, because he really wants them to survive. And he's afraid of putting Goose's son, his wingman's son, in a position where he could die.
Because he loves him.
Well, he loves him, but also he feels responsible for the father's death. Therefore, he feels responsible for protecting the son. And so he's been holding the son back so that he won't be in situations where he could be hurt or killed in this particular situation. And so that is tricky. How do you give people the latitude to potentially fail? You have to believe in them and give them the chance to fail. But at the same time, and I really like, because in the movie, it's not just this, that this young man who's played by Miles Teller, Goose's son, it's not just that he's in a situation where he could die, or rather that he wants to be in that situation. It's not that he was upset because he held him back from, oh gosh, what's it called?
Flight school?
Yeah, well, it's not.
Something?
Yeah, something like that. He held him back at the academy. And so it put his career behind, and he was really frustrated about that. So there's somewhat of like a game of catch up that he feels like he's doing. But then once he's actually in this position of risk, you can tell he's scared. He's scared of the responsibility and the risk involved with this mission, and if he will be capable of rising to it. But forcing him to be in that situation is the only thing that's going to kind of help him have the impetus to rise to it, which I think that the context of these super high stakes is a really valuable illustration to those of us who, frankly, most of the time when we're parenting or leading, let's say we're movie making, we're not in a position of such high stakes with those we're leading. And yet it still feels like that, right? It's like, I cannot let them fail. Or if they do that, they're going to mess it up, or they're going to break that thing, or they're going to put us behind schedule, or I have investors to, you know, answer to, all these things that we deal with in normal life. But in this case, it's he could die. And yet the best thing for him was, I mean, to let him do what he was already willing to do, which is risk his life to do his job, to grow as a person, which allowed Maverick to also grow as a person, which is kind of the cycle, I think, of leadership. So
yeah,
I don't know. There's a lot of themes there that I don't know if I like super stated clearly one singular theme, but there's a lot happening that I think is really valuable narratively.
Yeah. I also think of like his leadership and that he just went and did it. And that's when he really gained the respect of the team, even though that was not what they wanted him to do.
Probably he should have started there.
Yeah. Well, he really showed them, like, I can do this course. This can be done. They had respect for him, and they believed in him and followed him into it.
Yeah, trusting them with his life. Yeah, meaning he had to prove to them that the course that they would have to run to successfully complete this mission. There are some spoilers here. He has to convince them that it's even possible.
Yeah.
And for weeks, none of them are able to accomplish it. And then he's the one who actually proves it, not only that to them, but to his own superiors, that his plan of action is physically possible to accomplish in the F-18 and for the human body, Tom Cruise's human body.
Yeah. Okay, great. So what would you steal? What was the most emotional part, you know, biggest things you want to take away from this filmmaker?
Yeah, I think most emotional part, the ending is really solid and it has a really great act three, which I won't get into, but they really raise the stakes and push the story. I always like it in one of these sort of three act kind of movies when the movie feels like it's just about done and then they just kind of push it a little farther. It's a nice solid three acts, feels very earned. So I think that last portion of the film where he and Miles Teller's character are in a plane together, I think that portion is probably the most emotional for me, and I really enjoyed it. Some of the ending is a little saccharine with the big music and, you know, whatever, but honestly, just live with that. They really, they established that from, like, the opening scene that this is going to be a bit of a throwback and kind of a, you know, this isn't going to be, like, a super
serious,
challenging, serious thing. Yeah. So, I mean, if you don't want to watch that, then don't watch Top Gun Maverick, but they're going to lay it on thick with this movie, and that's fine. And then as far as stealing or learning, I did steal. I researched heavily the behind the scenes on how they shot this because we recently shot some P-51 Mustang aerial footage.
Which is the plane at the beginning and end of the film that
Tom Cruise
actually owns. It's his plane.
Yeah, he wanted to get that in this movie because, yeah, he likes it, I guess. And so we actually shot some P-51 stuff for a client for a commercial, and that was lots of fun. And I tried to kind of mimic the way that they mounted the camera in the cockpit.
They looked the same.
They looked really like, similar, yes.
At least that cockpit shot when I watched it in the theater, I was like, oh, that's like exactly what we did.
Yeah, it's
so funny.
Yeah, we're basically as great as them. What they did on a technical level was so, so much bigger. But so I did steal that. But in terms of like overall filmmaking and stuff, I think the biggest thing that I'm always inspired by Tom Cruise movies in general are just how much they do accomplish in camera. And he's very much into that. It's a much more fun way to make movies. This is just me speaking as a practitioner. Mm-hmm. And this just inspired me that it is often better. It leads to, I think, a better end product and a way better process, like way more fun to make movies that way. For people who maybe aren't as mathematically minded as some wonderful VFX artists out there who can think that way, there are obviously lots of VFX in this movie, like digital trickery and stuff, but because they had a base, I think, of doing as much in camera as possible and then just fixing and adding stuff with VFX where needed, I think that paid off for them. And I think it pays off for me when I push to do movies that way. And it really is just a lot of fun.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, if you do watch some of the behind the scenes stuff, you'll see that Tom Cruise put the actors through a training where they did underwater training and a bunch of other training so that they could actually be in the planes, actually going at those high speeds, and that their bodies were prepared to experience the G's.
I'm sure that there were other people more competent in regards to flight school and Naval Academy training than Tom Cruise involved in that process.
Absolutely. And
the behind-the-scenes commentators like to make it sound like Tom did everything.
Well, and he said, you know, he wanted to get the top pilots and people involved that he could in that process. And I think that was really fun for the actors to actually be in the planes. Obviously, they weren't actually flying them, but they were actually in them experiencing.
They weren't flying the F-18s? Well, for the movie.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I think that's one I would take away, too. I also think it's just good to see what audiences want in theaters. Like for
that
me,
was interesting.
It was exciting to see people respond so well to a film that was pretty clean, pretty family friendly for all different ages. I mean, not little kids, but kids' parents, grandparents. It wasn't extremely offensive, and it was just uplifting and like it's fun to watch kind of way. But it also had an element of spectacle. And I think we don't always want to just go watch something like that's a gritty drama. And even though that is good and there are things we can learn from that, it's really important to watch serious films. I think it's also important to tell stories that are fun to watch and that people can enjoy for entertainment with their families and kind of as a way to escape or get out of their life for a minute and have some fun.
Yeah. Well, and not just that, but that they inspire and they give you some hope for humanity in the future. I think this movie does that well. Like, I also think it was patriotic if you live in the United States. And I mean, I think there are more patriotic films that have been made and more interesting commentaries on the United States and our history and our government. But it's nice to see that we're allowed to do that. We can celebrate our countries wherever you're from and not be ashamed of that. And so I think that very little good change comes from shame, whether that's personal or collective. So that was also nice to see for me that like this was a movie that wasn't like shy about being like, look at this incredible thing that these incredible service people do and the sacrifices they make or are willing to make. And let's celebrate that too while we're talking about it. And I'm like, yeah, I don't feel like that's bad. I don't feel like we should be like, no, we should be talking about, you know, the imperfections of these people are doing more on our complicated history. It's like, yeah, there's time for that, but there's also time for celebration. And I think it's nice to see that there is actually still room for that conversation for a lot of people. So that was refreshing to me.
Yeah, I think it was a productive message without hitting you over the top of the head. So hope you enjoyed it.
Thanks for joining us on this podcast. We really hope you enjoyed it. And we hope you enjoyed Top Gun Maverick if you haven't already seen it. And it's still in theaters for probably several more weeks, honestly, because it seems to be doing really well. But if not, you can wait till it comes out on streaming, which I think it is out already on the streaming service. But we hope to see you on the next episode of Feature Filmmaker and also the next episode that is a movie club episode.
All right. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us today. If you like what you're hearing on the podcast, you'll love the Feature Filmmaker Academy, a program designed to teach anyone how to finance and finish a feature film.
There are many resources teaching you how to do a great job, but what they don't teach you is how to get the job in the first place.
You cannot have a career making feature films until you've made at least one. Anyone can make a feature film using our proven model.
It's risk-free. If you follow all the steps in the program, you'll finance and finish a feature film or we'll give you your money back.
Learn more at invisiblemansion.com/feature filmmaker or click the link in the show notes.
If you find this free resource valuable, we'd really appreciate it if you leave us a review or share it with another filmmaker. We'll see you next time.
Bye. Bye.